Welcome to Let's Talk About Health, an informational podcast that gives you insights on health and fitness from experts themselves that you can apply directly to your own personal health and fitness stories. Come join me today to hear all about what they have to say on health and fitness. Let me start by introducing myself. Hi, I'm Bhavna. I'm Bhavna Devnani. I'm a physical therapist in the state of New York. I'm practicing here for almost a year now. And today we have Dr. Mayuri Shah here. She has been my mentor, my friend, my guide for so many years now. I remember no teacher came up to me and she joined me for lunch, but Mayuri ma'am saw me one day and she was like, I'm gonna just sit with them and just have some good time, good talks. And I really like that. So since then we've been good friends and we've kept that friendship. Thank you, ma'am, for teaching me so many things. You are a Chalta Firta Wikipedia, and that will always be there. So Mayuri ma'am is our assistant staff at Dr. Deva Patil. She has done her master's in cardiovascular and pulmonary physiotherapy. So how's everything, ma'am? How's your morning been?
It's been good. It's been refreshing, actually.
Really?
No rains. Yeah.
That's good. Okay. I wanted to, so today we're here to talk about health. So yeah. I want to ask you, what is health? What, according to you, means health and fitness?
Actually, both are different. People get confused saying that they are fit or they are healthy. Okay. Something is, suppose I'm free of disease. Okay. Doesn't mean that I'm fit. It means I'm healthy. Okay, fitness means it involves a balanced lifestyle, which includes proper nutrition, regular exercise, stress management, which is at topmost in today's world, stress management, adequate sleep, and social connections. So these are the specific aspect of health that relates to physical fitness and abilities to perform your everyday tasks.
Right.
According to me, this is the difference between health and fitness.
So,
and both are not one and the same.
People should work on being fit. And
yeah,
it comes from day-to-day lifestyle.
Yes.
That's really good to know. What is one of the misconceptions that you have heard about health?
The first and foremost, that health equals absence of any symptoms. There are many such diseases which are, you know, symptom-free. Okay, so regular preventive checkups and early detection is very important.
Correct.
Then it is like weight equals health. So if I have a correct weight and if I fall into the normal category of the BMI, it means that I am healthy, which is not the case. Then another misconception what I have heard is that detox diet, if we consume detox diet, it cleanses our body. That's what people believe nowadays. But I think that it does lack the scientific evidence, because it can be harmful also if it is prolonged and if you are doing it without any consultation.
Right.
Another is spot reduction, which is, I have seen nowadays, that some people believe that they can target a specific area of their body for fat loss just by doing exercises like crunches or sit-ups, which is not the case.
Right. There are multiple groups of muscles that work to do one action. I agree.
Yes.
100%. Yes. There were so many misconceptions. I had never thought about all of that. That is so interesting.
Even one more thing that I have seen is that people think aging means declining health. That's not the case. Age is just a number. There is a difference between your biological age and the age of number.
Right.
So people have that kind of misconception that I am aging, so that means my life is, you know, my health is declining.
Right. You can still be healthy even if you're aging.
Yes, yes. The best example is our Indian model, Milind Soman.
Correct.
He is healthy and fit.
Yeah.
Including his mother, who completed a marathon.
Right.
After her age is 80 plus.
That's so interesting. That's really interesting to know. How did you choose physical therapy? I always wanted to ask you that. Who has inspired you to be a physical therapist?
Actually, in my life, I have been most inspired by IPS Vishwas Nangre Patil sir. And to become a physiotherapist, there was only one inspiration till now and will always be, that is Dr. Niyati Bhide ma'am, who was one of the best cardiorespiratory therapists I ever saw in my life. She had her concepts, bang on concepts. And she always said only one thing, that you can achieve anything. You have to just accept things the way they come. I never wanted to become a physical therapist. I did not know only what physiotherapist actually mean.
Right.
What is the scope and everything. But when it did came, so she inspired me a lot. That you can do wonders in this field. And at that point of time, it was just an upcoming field.
Right. Did you meet both of them? Did you get a chance to meet them?
I got a chance to work with Niyati Bhide ma'am in my third year bachelor's of physiotherapy. My first posting was with her. I had really great experiences just by observing her, working with her. And Vishwas Nangre Patil sir, no, I yet did not get. But I soon hope that I get a chance to meet him.
That's good to know. Tell us more about your research, about your research papers, anything that you would like to share with us.
Yes, my research mainly focused on mental health of the people here in India. Because what I have seen is people are ignoring their mental health as if brain is not part of their body, which is one of the most saddest part that I have seen, that they ignore the symptoms of anxiety, stress, depression. They think that mental health is something really different from physical health. They yet don't know, people yet don't know that mental health can affect your physical health.
Correct.
And vice versa. Both are dependent on each other. So mainly my outcome measures in my research, I keep at anxiety, depression, and stress. These are my major factors I work on. So the most good research that I did, I feel, was during lockdown. During lockdown, what happened was everybody were in their homes, whereas all the bankers were still working. At that point of time, they needed some or the other thing going on in their life. That is, physical fitness was ignored, the mental stress, the load, everything was ignored. So what I did was, I did one research where I gave recreational activities in the form where the exercises could be fun. And I monitored it via Zoom meeting. It was a group therapy because the bank timings were almost same. So they could go home, especially women. What I have seen is women have a lot of stress. They tend to ignore their health a lot. So it's like they all their life, it goes into taking care of the family, the husbands, in-laws, their children. And that's why I thought, but in bankers, I mainly focused on females. What I saw was I got really good results in reducing their anxiety, stress, and depression. They were enjoying doing those exercises. So if exercises could be fun, it's more easy to do. It's feasible, okay? Rather than boring, you're going to gym and you're doing same kind of exercises each and every day. It kind of gets bored.
Right. The patient compliance will increase.
Yeah, yeah.
More fun.
Yes, yes.
Agreed.
Yes, yes.
In my practice here, I have seen that, especially when we're talking about people who aren't going to the gym, people who are athletically fit, but they have had some injury, you have to be really creative to, you know, keep up with their exercises. I have a patient, she loves gardening. I realized, like you were talking about mental health, that I found out that she was getting muscle strains. And it was not because of the physical exercise she was doing. It was because mentally she was depressed, that she couldn't do gardening. So I came up with a workout that involved all the gardening skills. I got the gardening equipment, the toy set, basically. And then we did gardening. So now she's very happy. She had a double hip surgery in March of this year. And now she's doing everything. She was running a week back. So you have to keep up. It has to be fun. Physical therapy cannot be fun.
Yes,
I agree.
You have to make exercises fun.
Correct. Do you think telehealth is the new upcoming platform for physical therapy?
I don't think that it is an upcoming. People are actually doing it. One of my colleagues is actually starting up with all the yoga classes and everything online. Right. Okay, it can be, it is used as a complementary thing. Right. It will obviously help, especially in rural areas where, you know, all this, what do you say, medical healthcare and all are really accessibility is less. At that point of time, telehealth is, you know, it will really help a lot.
Right.
We have this app, you know, Tata 1MG, all the medications, prescriptions. Now the people don't have to get up, go out of their house and buy a medication for themselves. They can just sit and the medication is at the doorstep. It's really helping out for all the elderly people.
Correct. Right, that does make
sense. That's why I think that it is not upcoming. It has already come. It is just about the awareness.
Correct. Do you think AI is going to take over physical therapy?
I don't think. At the end, you know, people need human contact, you know.
Correct.
People need human contact. You cannot just talk to a machine. You need that kind of understanding. You need that kind of emotions and everything. A machine cannot give you that.
Right.
It can make your life easy. Of course, it can make your life easy. Technology is a must, but it cannot replace humans.
Right. And we are in a process.
There are so many, even you must have got such an experience that there are people who come to our OPDs, they come and meet us, not because something is wrong with their body all the time.
Yeah.
They just feel good to just come, interact, you know, spend time. And along with that, of course, exercises and all fitness is always going on. So artificial intelligence, I don't think, can replace.
Okay. I used to get that during my rotations in DIVA, in our general OPD. I used to have aunties come over and they used to just come and they used to love talking about their daughter-in-laws. Bahu ki burai karna. They used to enjoy doing that. So it was really...
They just need a they just need a ear.
Yeah,
so somebody should hear them because nobody hears them out.
Right. Yeah.
Right. That
is one aspect. Correct.
Yes.
And we are in a profession where we do need physical touch. We do need to have that presence to keep a watch on our patients to see if their form is correct. So
what I think is human touch. It's a healing touch. It is called as your hands can actually heal via touch.
Right.
It's because of the positiveness and everything, you know, spiritually. See. So we can work that way also. That's why the majority of the people, when they open their clinics, they keep the name as healing hands. That's what I've seen.
I've seen that too.
Yes.
Yeah. What, according to you, has been your biggest achievement?
I think up till now it's none. I think the only achievement I every day get is the blessings of my elders, my patients. When somebody is good, somebody is, you know, extubated, who is on ventilator for long. I think that is an achievement. You know, you cannot measure achievement. It might be small or big. You should celebrate each and everything.
Right. what, according to you, has been your biggest failure, and what did you learn from that experience?
I guess failing my PSM exam, preventive social medicine community exam, twice. And what I learned was that I was studying, but I was studying from a wrong book and with a wrong method. So first, what I did learn from that experience is that accepting that something is wrong, either you are wrong or there is an issue with the method that you have applied. So once you accept that you are wrong, you can find solutions to it. So if you can't get the solution, at that point of time, you should seek help to right people. Then they can guide you. And if you start again with a positive mindset by correcting your mistakes, at that point, with hard work and perseverance, you can achieve anything in life. That's what I have learned.
I don't think any one of us like PSM to begin with.
Yeah.
What would be one home exercise that you would, that you always recommend to patients?
I actually recommend that, you know, focus on your core muscles.
Core.
Mainly. Yes, focus on your core muscles. That core exercises are common. It might be any patient, even if it's a upper limb fracture case or any case. I have seen that people ignore their core muscles, and because of which they have n number of spinal issues. The age group does not matter. Once you are growing up, you know, you are aging and all. Mainly I see is that their core, because of the weak core muscles, they are having a lot of issues coming ahead.
How would you recommend to engage in core muscles? Just static contraction?
I would suggest that if the patient is young, then I would always go for planks. I would go for planks, holding, yeah. But if the patient is above 40 and all, then I would suggest for, you know, core contraction, bridging exercises, okay? All the exercises that we use for core, curl ups, we can use.
Would you recommend Pilates to such people?
Yes, I would. Yes, yes. But problem with Pilates is that they need a specific Pilates instructor.
Correct.
They have to learn it and they have to be consistent with it even at home. So when I am suggesting, I will start with basic, because patients won't come to us unless and until they are experiencing any symptomatic problem.
Right. That's true. I agree with you that core engagement is really important. Yes. Do you think outdoors physical therapy is important, and how it can affect us all?
I think it is one of the best. We have started here in Dr. D.Y. Patil Vidyapeeth. We are having an open gym. Yes, we are having an open gym over here. So why not outdoors physical therapy? You know, it's a natural environment. You have pure air. You have variety of terrain. Okay, you have challenges that can be used as a tailored therapy, you know, to outdoor environments. Then you have sunlight. People find it really motivating. Seeing others, you also want to do it. And then functional training also. It can be useful for functional training, that is practicing everyday movements, real life outdoor settings. They can help individuals to regain skills needed for everyday activities. You cannot do it in a closed doors, in an air conditioned thing. Nature, being more close to nature, I think it will help a lot.
Right. It helps with healing process a lot. Like we're talking about mental fitness, mental health. We have been, we were thinking that we'll get more plants in our outpatient, in our clinical setting. So there is more oxygen and people feel close to nature.
Yes, it's really important. Yes, it's really important.
Right. What is one piece of advice that today's Mayuri Shah would give to 18-year-old Mayuri Shah?
That I think I would tell myself that, you know, everything happens on time. You don't have to run.
Okay.
Just have patience and keep on working, things will happen. And one more advice I would give is, you know about financial investments, know how to use your money. Because when you are 18, you start with your pocket money and everything. So you are actually dependent on your parents. Mm-hmm. But till then you start earning, you actually don't know how to manage your money. Because each and everybody earns. Everybody earns. You should know that how to use that money.
Right.
Many people I have seen, they earn a lot, but they don't know how to use their money. They don't know how to use their assets. Many of them people are having health insurances. I've seen this in my hospital, that people are having health insurance, but they don't know how to use it, which I think we should know at a very young age.
Right.
We cannot just wait up till something happens. You know?
What do you think about the healthcare system presently in India?
I think that there is a lot of lacunes that are there in our system. First of all is what I feel is that we are not, we don't have that much of public versus private healthcare. You know, people, those who are having money, they can go for private healthcare. People who don't have, they go for public healthcare. And it, you know, it creates a disparities in healthcare outcomes. Then next is what I've seen is affordability. Many Indians face financial barriers. Like I said, because when you are seeking any healthcare, this is even my experience. Because when I underwent a fracture and everything, first, the very foremost question that comes is, how much will the surgery cost? Do I have that much money in my pocket? Do I have a health insurance? If I have, how do I use it? Even if I have an insurance, what does it cover? Do I have an idea of that? Now, accessibility, that it is not uniformly accessible. Healthcare is not uniformly accessible in India. Rural areas, they often lack proper healthcare infrastructure. Not all hospitals can give you that kind of infrastructure, especially when it comes to cleanliness. Next, we have shortage of healthcare workers. It starts from level 1 to level 3. You know, even a normal sweeper, we need cleanliness. You know, from level 1 to level 4, we need healthcare workers. The healthcare workers doesn't only compromise of doctors, you know. You need to have good staff, good nurses, good technicians. And that is what I think that about healthcare system in India. But we really have good doctors. If we can make use of that asset, then that's a really good thing. We can improve it. We can improve our healthcare system by increasing investment, by universal health coverage, by primary health care strengthening. Then we have telemedicine and technology.
Right.
Yes, then we have public-private partnerships. Like, you know, we can sign MOUs across internationally. We have research and innovation. That few things that are really costly and everything, we can do it in a really, you know, cost-effective way. Community engagement, I think, in that. That way, we can improve our healthcare system in India. We are on to it, but yet I guess it will take time.
I 100% agree with you. It's a team effort. Like, every member of the medical society is important.
Yes.
Starting from the lowest to the highest. And we are lucky to have few of the best surgeons from India, actually.
Yes.
So we should definitely use our resources and make it more efficient. Our side.
Yes, of course. Yeah, that is my experience, that I have seen that there are really good doctors, but they are far away. They are in Mumbai. They are in very big hospitals. So getting appointments, we really have to wait for months to get.
Right.
So this telemedicine, telehealth, which has come, it has really been a boom.
Right.
So as there is, I always feel that the way it is, like, you know, food on wheels. There should be a healthcare on wheels.
Yes. Yeah, I agree.
So that, you know, anything that happens, you know, main thing is reaching hospital on time. Time is really important. If we lack time, or if we are not having value of time, then it really gets difficult. So that why I always think you should have, you know, healthcare system on wheels.
Yeah.
You're calling the ambulances and it is taking almost hour, 1.5 hours. Especially in my field, my expertise, that is cardiorespiratory, people don't reach hospitals on time. And even if they reach and, you know, they survive, but still the damage has already happened. Not everybody can afford the treatment of transplant and bypass over here. Preventive. People should work on prevention.
Right.
Prevention of heart care, you know, any heart, cardiac arrest and everything. Everything goes hand in hand. Good nutrition, good health, fitness, no addictions.
Correct. I have seen, I was doing a basic life support course over here because we have to take the, everyone should know basic life support. I believe that everyone should at least have that course once in their life. In cases of emergency, they should know how to react. Here, we were taught that most of the stroke patients don't experience more than 50% of damage to their brain because the ambulance is so quick and they are given the proper care in on time. So they reach the hospital on time, they undergo the whole surgery, they're given proper medications. So they don't have as much intensive damage as I have seen cases of paralysis in India.
Yeah. One more thing I want to mention here is that it's my experience, what I saw was that there was this bystander who just collapsed because of seizures. And he was having his attack. And so I called an ambulance. So he said that the driver of the ambulance, he said that we need one relative along with the patient to take decisions. Now, it's an aloof area. Where do we find his relative to take decisions? So once he reaches the hospital, there is a police complaint, you know, and then we will find out who is his relative and then take decisions. This is one of the thing I found out that it's really, I guess, one of the lacking that is there in our Indian healthcare system.
Right.
That we always need some or the other person with each other to take decisions for them.
Right.
Why don't I think that, why is it not that, you know, someone can take decisions, you know. I always feel that, no, a doctor can take a decision. A healthcare professional can take the right decision.
I think it's the same in the practice in America. If you are unconscious, then it's the first response, it's his responsibility to decide what is to be done that is going to be best patient.
Yes.
So
that is benefit.
Because you're not everyone stay with their relatives. It's very difficult. Agree. Yeah. What is one thing that you learned from studying MBA?
MBA. Okay. Yes. What I learned is that each one is assigned a task, specific task. And if everybody works together, the given task is achieved and the deadline is also met. It is decentralization. Everyone is given their specific job and you have to do it. It's a teamwork. Then you have to match the deadlines and your main goal is to achieve the vision, what we have seen.
Right.
It is not always about, you know, earning. What I have seen typically is people do MBA to earn a lot of money.
Right. No,
you have to, I think, you have to change the mindset of that. Yes, I'm not saying that money is not important. It is, but it should be secondary. Primary should be how can you make your institute or your hospital run very smoothly.
Correct.
What all you can do for the poor. What all, you know, you can do in terms of research, innovation. And then you can think about money. If you have all these things in place, money is automatically going to come. If you are already thinking about money and working that way, it's not going to come. If you're providing one of the best healthcare with best team, best doctors, you know, best nursing staff, then of course money is going to regenerate. That's what is my experience that I saw in NM Wadia Hospital of Cardiology. They have provided one of the best teams of sisters, best team of doctors, okay, cleanliness, everything, best team of physios also. No wonder people all over Pune go there for cardiac surgeries.
Yeah.
So obviously the money is coming.
Wadia is known for cardio.
Yes. So people must see money as an investment. Then it's going to come back to you in doubles and triples.
Right. This reminds me of a dialogue from Three Idiots. Success ke piche mat bhag. Okay. To end this session, what is one piece of advice that you would like to give everybody, including myself?
Yesterday, I would like to say this. Yesterday, I saw a picture on Facebook. There was an image. There is a cat who is chasing a tail.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
Chasing a tail.
Yes.
So it's a very thin tail. So she thinks it's of a rat. But there is a wall. And on that part of the wall, there is a cobra.
Oh.
It's a tail of a cobra. So first, I did not understand what this picture means. So then I started reading, and what I saw, it was bang on advice. What they said was, it's regarding our health only,
right,
the topic which we are actually talking right now. We feel that, you know, we ignore health, we ignore our symptoms. You know, example, headache ho raha hai, jaane de, coffee pee lenge, chal jayega.
Right.
But do not ignore your symptoms, do not ignore your body, do not ignore the signs. That's what advice I will give you, because you don't know what you are thinking small. It might be something really big.
Okay.
It might be something really dangerous. And right now you're asymptomatic, and that's why you're not paying attention to your health.
Right.
So I will always suggest that pay attention to your mental health, to your physical health, to your emotional health, and of course, last, financial health. So all four go together. You have to be emotionally strong, spiritually strong, mentally strong. All three together, if it is strong, your physical health is always strong. You cannot live forever, right? You cannot live forever. Death is going to come at the end. But till then, you are alive. See to it that you are living life healthily. Because at the end, any amount of money you are putting, it won't give your health back. Example is diabetes. It kills you cell by cell. Any amount of money you are putting, it is not going to give your healthy lifestyle back.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to really pay attention to what you are eating, what you are drinking, how much physical exercise you are doing. If you are doing anything in too much, it's going to cause you harm.
Right.
So you have to do it everything in a really balanced way.
Mm-hmm. So do not ignore your symptoms.
Yes, because you can't pour from an empty cup. No?
Right.
So taking care of yourself is not selfishness. It is a necessity, right? It is not a luxury. Self-care, it is not a luxury. It is a necessity. So yeah, you have to listen to your body.
Correct.
It has a lot to tell you. Okay. So self-care is not a lifelong journey. It is a lifelong journey. It is not a destination. You have to take care of yourself each and every day. You have to set some boundaries, and you have to respect those boundaries. What I have seen is people work and work and work and work. They are not respecting their body. They are not taking proper rest. They are not spending time in nature. They are not practicing self-compassion, which I feel is really wrong.
I think this is dear to me.
Yes.
Too
because you know, spending, yes, you have to take care of your health. And in today's fast world, people tend to ignore their health. This is really sad. People think, you know, running behind money, earning a lot of money, and I have to work right now in between till the age of 50. After that, it's retirement, it's rest. No, you should know the importance of rest even now.
Correct.
People think I might get retired at, you know, at the age of 45 and I will sit. No, you
Right.
have to work. You have to work. You have to work the way your body tells. You can't just sit home, no? Retirement doesn't mean that you just sit home watching TV.
Yes.
You should keep working, but you should respect your body at the same time. Like, how much time am I working? How much time am I resting? This is what I think. I will advise today's generation that please take care of yourself, because at the end, you are alone on your deathbed. Even though people are surrounding you, the pain that it is causing, it's only you who are going through it. So just
correct.
Pay attention. Till then you are alive, just see to it that you are fit.
That is one piece of advice that I will take for sure. I will start working on that. But thank you for spending your time in college. I was not aware about, but thank you so much, ma'am. Always a pleasure talking to you. And
thank you so much.
I will talk to you very soon. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Take care.
Bye-bye. Bye. Yeah, sure. Take care. Bye.
Thank you for listening to our talk about health. You can follow me on Instagram at bhavna.devnani, on Facebook at bhavna.devnani, and we'll leave all the information in the description below. Thank you.